Hey, it's the Great Debates.
Hey. Yeah.
Hi, everybody's right here.
I'm Dave King. I'm ready to debate.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm ready to debate.
I'm Dan Medina. I'm ready to moderate.
Let's do this.
I've got a debate topic for you, and I have 3 minutes on the clock.
Okay.
Before I introduce this debate topic,
yeah,
this is Provables Week.
Oh, so what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Okay,
Provables Week. What does that even mean?
A provable is a debate that we that is a fact. I'm stating something that is can be proven or disproven.
Okay, but we have no idea what the answer is.
None of us really know.
We
and
don't
it's
know.
It's
we
double
don't.
Blind, triple blind, if you will.
Neither
of you know the answer. I don't know the answer.
I love it.
Okay. So we'll debate it, and then we'll get the answer.
No. First, we'll find out who won the debate.
I'm going to decide we'll who an won answer. The debate, and then we'll get and then we'll give an answer. Okay, debate topic number one, 3 minutes on the clock. Steve Healy taking the pro. The Statue of Liberty is taller than the Washington Monument.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. The statue, of course, the Statue of Liberty is taller than the Washington Monument. Look at it. It towers in the New York City skyline. It is like comparing itself to huge towering buildings, some of the biggest buildings in the United States. It was meant to like be seen from miles out at sea. The Washington Monument is tall, sure, but it's nothing like the Statue of Liberty, which is like, first of all, it's on a pedestal, which is itself enormous. And then it's like this big wrought iron, majestic woman, massive testament to the friendship of the United States and France and the ideals of the United States. It's got to be bigger than the Washington Monument, for sure.
Everything you've said so far is incorrect. It isn't there to be... it doesn't tower over the New York City skyline. It is dwarfed by the buildings of Lower Manhattan. And in fact, as you know, it's not even in New York. It's in New Jersey waters. The fact that it's on a pedestal just indicates to us how not tall the Statue of Liberty is. They needed to put it on a pedestal. And in fact, I think we should be very careful about, are we saying that the tip top of the Statue of Liberty represents how tall it is, or are meaning like how high it is, or should we be measuring from the base of the statue to the top of the statue and excluding the pedestal? Something to think about. The Washington Monument is in the seat of our government. It is, by the way, also on land. It is terrestrial. And what you often find is that things that stand up from the water, because there is absolutely nothing around them, are perceived to be taller than they are because there's nothing on the landscape with which to compare them to in the immediate vicinity. If you look at the Statue of Liberty from Lower Manhattan, it looks minuscule. Same from New Jersey. I've been in apartments in Jersey where you can see the Statue of Liberty and you have to go, that's it? It's that tiny thing over there? If you live in Washington and you see the Washington Monument, there's no question, baby, about what you're looking at. It's huge.
I think that's because of a civic ordinance in D.C. that made them not build anything bigger than the Washington Monument. There's nothing of any size in Washington. There's no tower.
I understand that
there's no nothing.
That's true.
The whole place is smaller in scale. Now, the Statue of Liberty stands alone in the harbor. Like, you're having a perceptual problem because, like, you see an enormous ship, the Queen Mary, which I wouldn't be surprised if from waterline to tower, the Queen Mary is taller than this Washington Monument, but the Statue of Liberty towers over ships, and it's from an age when a lot of ships had
it
masts.
It doesn't tower over ships. I don't know why you're introducing this notion of the Queen Mary. I've been on the Staten Island Ferry. You can tell that, like, if you're on the second deck of the Staten Island Ferry, you feel like you're like up at the Statue of Liberty's like waist. And not the case for the Washington Monument. If you stand at the base of the Washington Monument, you look up at the top and you go, how could I ever even climb to the top of that? Not the case
with
the Statue
of Liberty. The Washington Monument starts at, you're on ground, you're on a big field.
I'm so curious now what the answer is.
I'm very curious. If I were a betting man, I would bet on the Washington Monument.
Yeah. I mean,
think I would too.
There's this feeling when you see the Statue of Liberty that it's very small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lady. You can't build a lady that's that big.
No, it'd be crazy. So I'm going to side with Dave on this one.
Well, are you side? Did you think he won the debate?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Do you know the answer?
And here's why. Because it's common knowledge. It's a common experience for people that when you see the Statue of Liberty, it seems small. Everyone talks about this. Yeah, I saw it. It seemed kind of small.
That's right.
And you came out of the gates trying to say, like, it seems huge, which is...
It towers over the skyline?
I think I won the debate, and I'll be vindicated.
Okay, do we have the actual facts?
Let's ask producer Mark, which is taller, the Washington Monument or the Statue of Liberty? Statue of Liberty, 300 feet high, 305 feet high, pretty tall. Washington Monument, 555 feet tall.
Wow. Yes. Okay, yeah.
Of course it
the
is.
The Washington Monument is taller.
It's taller.
But not by that much.
No. Are you kidding me? That's like 40% taller.
40% taller.
It's huge.
It's actually 60% taller.
Guys, are we in host chat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're in host chat.
Hey, Dan, as I understand it, we have some new listeners today.
Yeah, so today is our first program that's been broadcast or being broadcast on Sirius XM Radio. We're on the channel Sirius XM Insight. That's 121.
So you might be listening to our podcast, or you might be listening to us on channel 121, Insight. That's
there's
great.
A chance you're listening to us as a podcast, and it might just be that we're on the radio.
Now, if you just come across us on the radio on your Sirius, Dan, you're a truck driver, you're commuting, you're listening to Sirius, tell us what we are.
What are we?
Okay,
what are we listening to?
For the last 2 years, we've been creating every week this radio program where my two friends here, Steve Healy and Dave King, debate each other on what you might call the great issues of the day.
Right.
Things like, which is taller, the Statue of Liberty or the Washington Monument?
Yeah. In the past, what are some of the, I mean, we debated the nickel is the worst coin. We debated there are fewer than 90 gay dentists in Nebraska.
That was a good one. That was a good epic one. Yeah.
We debated California knows how to party.
Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama share a secret.
Right.
We debated,
you know, just kind of whatever comes to mind. Some things you should know about us. The opinions expressed by us do not necessarily reflect the opinions held by us.
Right. Once we enter the debate, you're like a lawyer.
All I care about is winning. Yeah. You're like a lawyer. That's right.
It's the great sport of debate.
Your ethical obligation is to advocate
only to
your
the
side.
That's right.
And then afterwards, we'll often discuss, you know, what we really think and so on.
Well put. Well, I hope you enjoy listening to us if you're hearing us on Sirius.
Sirius 121. Insight. Now, hello, when I hear the number Sirius. 121, of course, I think of U.S. Highway 121.
You do?
The Coalfields Expressway.
Where is Highway 121?
Well, it runs from Pound, Virginia, to Beckley, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Coal
right,
country.
Of course, yeah.
But sometimes I also thought of California 121.
Do you think anyone is driving along 121 right now?
Oh, I hope so. Please let us know if you are. Dan, do you know where Cali 121 is?
Mm-mm.
Well, if you hopped on the 121 and then you took it to the end, you started at Sears Point up north of San Francisco. When you got to the end, you'd be in Napa County, baby.
Oh, of course, the 121.
Yeah.
Runs right through Napa. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So that's the wine trail.
I lived off the 128.
Cool.
So did I. That's California. Weird. But that's in Massachusetts. Funny. So did you, Healy.
True.
Route 128.
But we called it 128.
You just said 128.
Yeah, same.
Or maybe Route 128. But also, it was 95. They're the same thing.
Usually, we don't talk about the highway numbers. We debate.
Yeah, okay.
I know, I'm sorry.
Should we get back to...
Yeah. And it's Provables Week. It's a lot going on. We're on
Sirius. Topic Provables. Number two in Provables Week. Steve Healy is going to continue to take the program.
Hey, by the way, to our regular podcast listeners, nothing's going to change.
No, of course. We would... No.
We would not betray you. You're the OGs.
Same show.
We love you. It just happens the show is also now broadcast
just
on this.
Listen to it wherever you want.
We're just getting new listeners. And if you know people who listen to Sirius, tell them to check us out. We're on at 6 p.m. Wednesdays, 121.
And if you want to know a little more about us, you can go to GreatDebate69.com. You can check us out on Twitter. @GreatDebate69. GreatDebate69@gmail.com.
There's a million ways to reach us. We rely on listeners for topics. Write to us. Get in touch. Let's talk.
Topic number two on Provables Week. Steve Healy taking the pro. Three minutes on the clock. Clint Eastwood, actor, director Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
Has played a character named Ted.
Okay. I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. Here's...
What? Clint Eastwood, you're going to argue that Clint Eastwood has played a character named Ted? You really think he has?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't matter whether I think he has or not. I'm taking the pro.
Okay, go. You're right.
Now, what do we know about Ted Clint Eastwood as an actor? He works. He's been working at least since Rawhide in the 60s, right? A TV show that he was on a lot. I don't know what his character was named, but he was on this show. He got a lot of television episodes under his belt before he even got into movies. He went to Spain and Italy and did those like spaghetti westerns. Like the guy was taking gigs. He was a working actor for a long time. Then we're talking about like 1980. So like my entire lifespan, he's been a superstar doing a movie a year pretty much. At some point in there, he played a character named Ted. Yeah, I think so. Now, we don't think of Clint Eastwood as a Ted kind of guy, but maybe in one of his movies he's Ted Kalowski, he's Ted Bundy, he's Ted Barry, he's Ted whatever. Right.
Well, just saying hypothetical last names he doesn't plays make it for a good argument.
What, he always plays
American. You're not going to randomly hit on a character.
He plays American men, and Ted is an American man's name, and sooner or later the paths cross.
Okay, yeah,
Ted,
a couple points about why you're wrong. First of all, you mentioned that before he even went into movies, he had done like dozens of television episodes. Well,
no, I think I said hundreds.
Great, fine, hundreds. He was only on one show, he played one character. So unless that name was Ted, it doesn't matter how many episodes he did because he's only playing one guy. If you said he was on, he did a movie of the week every week for for 4 years, then I'd say, okay, 200 characters, you got a better chance.
Look, I know Rawhide was his main gig at that time, but I also know there's no way he wasn't picking up other work. He was. My point really was he was up for anything. And as an actor, and he would have played a guy
because he did TV and movies.
Because
he'll do anything.
He is a working.
Oh, he's also stopped acting. He hasn't been in a movie in the last
4 years.
I think his last movie was Gran Torino, and I don't.
Like age 80.
Couple other.
He's
points.
Been working for 50.
Well,
years.
If he wanted to up his odds of playing a Ted, he should have still been. He should have been doing two movies a year for the last 10 years. Here, a couple other things. I don't know a lot about Clint Eastwood, but I know that he did about 8 movies where he played a guy named Harry. So that takes like a large percentage of the movies he played off. Right out of the gate. Also, I don't know about the movies he did in Spain and Italy. Were those English-speaking movies, or were those...
I think he famously played The Man with No Name. So
okay, so that's another movie.
Those are off the
table. The most crucial, it's an obvious detail, but one we need to discuss. The name Ted is relatively obscure. If the name were John or James or Harry, then I would get it. But Ted... It seems to me that it's never going to even crack the top 50 of like baby names for kids born between, 1930. Oh, time's up.
That's the timer.
That's tough.
The debate's over.
That's tough. I got a lot more to say.
Okay, Dan, what do you think?
I mean, I'm compelled by the mathematical argument that there's been a lot of characters in there. The point I wanted from you, Steve, was that like Ted is kind of a cowboy name.
Yeah, sure.
But I didn't get that.
Yeah,
point
you said
debate.
White guy. Name.
I circled around. American. I probably could have been a little clearer.
Yeah. I would have loved that. Should we get the real answer?
Yeah, let's get the answer.
What do you think? What do you actually think?
It's a toss up.
Seems unlikely.
Clint Eastwood has never played.
Wow! Actually, I'm quite surprised now that I hear that.
The closest thing.
wait! So before you go any further, Matina.
Yeah.
Here's what just happened. I said, Healy, what do you actually think? And you were like, it's a toss-up or something. And then Medina said, Clint Eastwood's never claimed to never played a character.
You retroactively realized your own expression of your opinion was wrong.
You were shocked.
Yeah.
You suddenly became shocked at a thing that 2 seconds earlier you said
I know.
Had.
It's interesting.
It could be a coin flip.
That's one for Daniel Kahneman or whatever.
It was like, if I flipped a coin and went, it's Tails. And you went, Tails? What? It's insane.
He's never played a Theodore? Or
here's the thing.
Okay.
There are apparently 3 movies. Is that right, Producer Mark?
2 movies and a TV show.
Okay, 2 movies and a TV show in which he played a character named Red.
Wow, that's great!
Wow,
3
Red. I wonder if he was, if any point in that script the name was Ted and he had to change to Red.
Oh, interesting. It could have also been Ed or Ned.
Was he ever an Ed or a Ned?
Oh, who cares?
Who cares? Man. Nobody. Cool.
Should we do another one of these?
Yeah,
provables?
I had so much fun.
Yeah. I love provables.
Provables are fun. Okay, here's a wild card.
Yeah.
Okay. We're taking it local here. Okay. We're from Los Angeles. We all live in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
we're at
Los Angeles.
Great Debate Studios at Steve Healy's house in West Hollywood tonight.
Yeah, this is Great Debate Studios South.
And there's a relevant topic. The topic, we might be hungry later. The topic up for debate, Steve Healy taking the pro, 3 minutes on the clock. Sugarfish on La Brea has a 25-minute or more wait time right now.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro.
Hold on. Before we start the clock and everything, how are we settling this debate?
We'll call in after.
Producer Mark will call them.
Okay, so does that mean that whatever they say, we're taking as the answer?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to... I want to know.
Okay, so to our listeners who may not be familiar, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro, and Sugarfish is a sushi spot here in L.A. It's kind of... like high end, but also they've got a tight game. Like, they just get it done. There's basically only one thing to order, which is the trust me, like, a, and they have a huge takeout game with a little box of sushi you can get. And there's a lot of people here in Los Angeles, Hollywood types and whatever, who love sushi. It's really like a popular statusy kind of food here, and it's healthy and good. And people here are obsessed with health and goodness. So I think I've been to Sugarfish a couple times. It's always really busy there. It's a really crowded spot. It's on the corner of La Brea and Beverly or something, like as close to the heart of what we call Hollywood as you could get, like in the heart of Los Angeles. I think there's definitely a 25-minute wait on Sunday. We're recording this on Sunday night, a big night out. Definitely, yeah.
A lot of what you said is incorrect, but has nothing to do with the wait time, and I don't know whether to address it or not. I'm at a crossroads here. Let me quickly say, it's not particularly healthy. Everyone knows that sushi rice is filled with sugar. It's actually even called Sugarfish, this place. Also, it's not in, like, the heart of Los Angeles. This is relevant. It's not like in like Beverly Hills and that strip with like Bouchon, all those restaurants. It's also pretty expensive, and it's we're talking about the Sugarfish on La Brea, which is in the middle of sort of a weird zone. It's at like La Brea and First. It's not quite Hancock Park, and it's also not quite like west enough to be where like rich people live. So yes, people eat there, but it's not as crowded as, say, the other Sugarfish locations, like the one in Studio City, which is often packed. Also, the one in La Brea is bigger than the one in Studio City. They're able to see people. My most important thing I'm going to say is that when you call them, they're going to want you to come on down. They're going to undersell the amount of time that it actually is that you'd have to wait. Meaning, if you call and they say, oh, it's like a 20-minute wait, that might actually be a 30-minute wait. But since we're going by the amount of time that they say, I think they'll say it's under 25 minutes.
I'm
going
to strongly disagree with you on that last point, Dave, because I think that sushi has a, like, part of sushi really relies on trust and integrity. And I actually think restaurant people are, they're more likely to lie upwards in how long the wait is because they don't want to cause a problem. They're happy if they have a 25-minute wait, they're happy to get rid of some people by spooking them off. And usually, in my experience, like, restaurants overestimate their wait time because they don't want to spook you.
How would you know that they're doing that?
Because they'll say an hour and then I'm in there in half an hour. Like, I think they overestimate because they don't want a situation where you're tense and angry at them and mad.
Every piece of knowledge and inference that you have made about both Sugarfish, the establishment, and sushi and restaurants should be put into question when you said, well, let me finish this thought really quick. When you said there's basically only one thing to order, and it's the trust me, because if you go there and you don't or load up on hand rolls, you're an idiot. And the trust me does not have nearly enough hand rolls in it to make it worth ordering.
Do you think this debate is playing well on US 121, the Coalfields
Expressway? Like, yeah. Well, why not? It's a little piece, a little slice of LA. Mm-hmm.
I like to get local with the debates. It's true. Dan, what do you think?
Heels.
Thank you.
Yeah, I will say the overestimating argument.
It's good.
I think you were right about that. Mm-hmm. But there's an answer to be found.
I'm going to call Sugarfish right now.
Cool.
By the way, my actual prediction is that they won't give you a time. They'll say, like, we won't know until you get here.
He'll get a time.
You think Medina can do it?
We work on a first-come, first-served basis.
Yeah.
We don't take reservations. Mm-mm. And we do not
We're going through the menu. Mm-hmm.
To place a to-go order or to speak to someone at the restaurant,
are please press so one. Good.
You, for address
because if you
listen to the shrill, bossy tone of that woman,
I didn't like that very much.
That's a 25-minute wait kind of place.
If you eat it right away, the seaweed is so crispy. The bay scallop roll, are you kidding me?
I don't like Sugarfish that much.
Thanks for calling Sugarfish La Brea. This is Vicky speaking. How can I help you?
Hi, Vicky. My name's Dan. I wondered, what is the wait time right now?
For how many people?
For three people. Do you think it would be about 25 minutes, really?
You know, it might be sooner than that.
Ooh, sooner than 25 minutes. Okay.
Definitely. Are you guys coming by?
Maybe later.
We'll try to make it.
We'll see if we can. Hopefully it'll be under 25 minutes.
Ask her about
that. Yeah, it might not be 25 minutes, but I'm going to remember you and cross my fingers that it'll be shorter than that. Let's do that.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I'll see you soon.
Bye-bye now.
There you have it.
Whew. I think the wait time at Sugarfish under 25 minutes. She did say 15 to 30.
Yeah, but I think we got to give the win to Dave.
We got to give the win to Dave. No, no, no. Hold on. Oh. That's not what we're doing here. Oh. You won the debate.
That's
Thank
true.
Thank you.
The okay, answer yeah, cool. was sooner than
that. You're right. Yeah.
So that's what we learned today.
Neat. That was fun.
What it
was
fun game. Fun.
Do we have time?
Cool. We have time for one
for
more.
One more
we
oh,
have time
okay, great.
For
right.
exactly
okay, great.
One more. Okay, here we go. 3 minutes on the clock. Healy taking the pro.
Okay.
Hugh Grant is older than Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. By the way, to new listeners, I almost always take the pro. Mm-hmm. Usually how we organize it is I take the more life-affirming side.
And there's no more life-affirming thought than Hugh Grant being older than Ellen DeGeneres.
I think it is kind of life-affirming.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I'd rather live in a world where Hugh Grant is older than Ellen DeGeneres. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Ellen has such a young, peppy energy. She's dancing on the show. Hugh Grant's energy is exasperated, tired, burnt out. He always plays like an alcoholic or sort of a guy gone to seed. His prime time, which
name one movie he plays an alcoholic.
Bridget Jones' Diary. I'm guessing when he was like 35 or so was his prime time, which would have been like 1995, whenever Four Weddings and a Funeral came out, was like peak Hugh Grant. Maybe 97, I don't know, sometime in there. The time when he went on the Jay Leno show and admitted to getting the transvestite prostitute.
What the hell were you thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, props to Hugh Grant for doing that, right?
Okay, this is, yes, but also we got to discuss how
anyway,
old these people
my
are.
My point is that happened like when I was in high school. I think Hugh Grant was 35 or so then, so I think he's fairly old now. I think Ellen DeGeneres is younger than
what
him.
What people forget about Ellen DeGeneres is that she's an old dog road comic. She was out there grinding in the late 70s and 80s. She was an established stand-up by like 1983. I mean, like my dad was a fan of Ellen DeGeneres as a stand-up comedian when I was a child in like the mid 80s. Hugh Grant was 10 years away from popping on the any in any way.
Okay, that's a great point.
And I think that Hugh Grant, I don't think he was 35 when he's doing Four Weddings and a Funeral. I think he's like in his late 20s.
I think the old road dog comic thing, great argument.
That's
but
we can't just say old road dog comic thing like that's an actual phrase.
Why not? So because I think that most right. comics yeah. like drummers and like boxers, like you start young and like it's basically a 7 to 10 years until you hit.
Okay.
I think Ellen started yeah. at like very young,
I'm
probably
sure
16,
she did.
17.
Yeah.
She was hitting
I don't think that young.
Road Dog by 27.
Okay.
Where does that put us?
Well, that then if she was 27 in 1985, let's say, which I think she's probably older, but then that means that for Hugh Grant, what am I trying to prove again?
I don't
that
know.
Ellen
Dave.
Is older?
You've got to keep track of it.
There's no way that Hugh Grant was 37 in 1995.
I think that's totally possible.
You think he would? That would make him what? 37. That would make him.
These English actors.
Eight
they
now?
Have, the English actors.
I can't.
They
do
like.
The math.
They always. By the time we hear about them, they've had a long career. That's why they're so good. They've in England. They really nurture their actors. There's a lot of stage time. A lot of them go to like RADA or something. We don't even have equivalents for the schools they go to. They learn
what?
To play the parts. They get their reps in.
Did you just say we don't have equivalents for drama schools?
Yeah, I don't think we have anything that's quite on the level of RADA.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't
Yale drama
love
school,
the
maybe.
Way you're saying RADA like we're all so familiar with it.
The Royal Academy of Dramatic
I know
Arts.
What it stands for, and yet I still feel like the first time that you say that, just say it and not assume that everyone listening like knows is that well educated about British acting. Okay, sorry.
I assume a very intelligent audience. I'm
play
sorry.
The top of the intelligence.
I support
That's nice.
That. Okay, I'm going with Davis
yeah.
because of the road dog comedian
yes.
argument.
Road dog. As soon as he said road dog,
I
think dead. I said
you're dead
I
in the
think
water.
I,
yeah,
I
old dog.
I said
road
old dog road comic,
comic
which
I
am
like.
Not proud of.
I like it in a way also.
That was a strong argument.
Okay.
Well debated.
What I
Thank
like
you.
About this topic is that both of them seem impossibly young. And
yeah,
and you never can tell how old they are.
They both have a youthful quality.
Or,
to them.
Actually, it's not even youthful. It's just like ageless.
Mm, yeah.
Man, woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's find out what the answer is.
What is the truth?
Ellen DeGeneres is 58 years old.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant is 56.
Wow,
it's pretty
so close.
That's great.
Cool.
So what did I said there's
you
no
won.
Way Hugh Grant.
You were factually right.
You were
no,
factually
but that doesn't
correct.
Mean that I won. You keep making this mistake.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
she's older.
Yes,
you were assigned the correct answer.
You were assigned the correct answer.
You defended it well.
Yes, I won not because of the facts, but because of my argument.
True. Okay. Kudos.
How old was Hugh Grant in Four Weddings and a Funeral?
Is he 56 now? That movie was, what, 22 years ago?
You know what you didn't
ago?
Bring up is the Ellen show was on TV, like, before or around Four Weddings and a Funeral time.
Are you talking about These Friends of Mine?
Wasn't it called the Ellen show?
He was the original 24? Ellen show.
It was 94.
Okay, so Four Weddings and a Funeral we're hearing was 1994. It's 22 years ago, so he would have been 36 at the time. 34, 33 probably when they filmed it.
That sounds right, yeah.
Okay, it all adds up.
Cool.
What did you guys think of Provables Week?
I thought it was so fun and really fun, great. We should definitely add it to our arsenal.
I'm not sure why this isn't the only thing we do.
Well, it's fun to have another.
Well, guys, so as you heard Great Debates, we this is our first episode on Sirius XM Radio on the channel Sirius XM Insight.
121. 11 squared, baby.
And, you know, as always, you can find us wherever you tune into podcasts.
And Sirius people, if you heard the podcast, tell your friends that listen to podcasts. Podcast people, tell your friends that listen to Sirius. Mm. Let's have an exchange
Cross-pollination,
share and share alike.
And, you know, it's a listener-driven program. We rely on submissions of topics. We rely on feedback. We rely on shout-outs to really drive the creativity of the show. Anyway, I really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, it's fun.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all those things.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys all next week.
Oh, yeah.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.